This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, we thank Omar Kelly and our EJD Construction.com Miami Dolphins report. Please call the folks at EJD Construction. Make sure you go out there and call them if you need anything, man. You want to improve that man cave, whatever you want to do, man. You want to add some, you want to add an addition to the home. You want to add a what's it called, the game room or whatever it is, because a lot of people are staying home more often now. So they are expanding their homes or doing all kinds of creative stuff. Please call the folks at EJDConstruction.com. Go to the website, EJDConstruction.com, and tell Eric that Big O sent you. Robert Triana, thank you, sir, for giving us a little love on the Super Chat. He says, what's up, compadre? Looking forward to meeting you at one of the remotes. I live in Naples, born and raised in Wechete. Couldn't make it to the sport. Couldn't make it to Sports Grill next time. Well, remember, Sports Grill this year, Bird Road and Miami Lakes, half the season in Bird Road, half the season in Miami Lakes, pre and post game show for the Miami Dolphins. We will be there. So make sure you get your asses out there and join us. All right. We're going to have some fun out there, man. It's a beautiful thing. So please come on out to Sports Grill. We got a lot of places where we can meet. We'll be at Caneswear next month. We'll be at Acura Pembroke Pines twice next month. And then starting in September, we're going to be out at Sports Grill every single weekend. So we'll be at a Sports Grill, at Acura, at Caneswear, and that's just a start, okay? We've got more places. We've hopefully got more sponsors that we're going to add. And if you are a sponsor and you want to be a part of our show, please reach out to us on my Twitter feed at Big O Show. Would love to meet with you and talk a little business. And maybe we can form a great partnership here on the show. Appreciate all of you out there. As always, please smash the hell out of the like button. That is about the most important thing you can do. You can, you know, what's it called? Obviously, you want to support our sponsors, but if you can't, and you can at least smash the like button, if you can subscribe, if you can share the link, that is incredibly important so others out there can actually hop on. Big old talks, don't make it political. All he does is make it political. Well, that's because you look at it political. I look at it as common sense. That's all. You know, when you're stuck on a side, see, I don't give a shit about Democrats or Republicans. To me, it doesn't matter. You know, so it's that. I bet you can't say the same, right? I bet you lean on one side. I can guarantee you that just by your answer, right? So it's all good. I don't care, bro. I laugh at both sides. Let's see. Heat at work, brother, with students. Oh, here at work with students. All right, Willie. Get it done. Omar was on another Dolphin podcast where he was positive, too. I mean, I don't know. For me, bro, how are you not positive about the Dolphins right now? How do you not love what the hell they're doing, bro? Ray says, this is the first today. We all got positive Omar. NorCal says Tua, 4,200 yards, 34 touchdowns, 12, I guess, interceptions, 6 rushing touchdowns, 500 yards. I like it. I like it. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. That's about 12 wins. Get into the second round of the playoffs. There we go. Like I told you, 2021 is what? The tune-up. 2022 is what? The title. Just saying. It's what it is. Let's see. I got Brown to bust 1,200 yards this year. You know, I still think it'll be Gaskin. You know that? Not Brown. Tannehill holds on to the ball, but he threw 3,800 yards and 7 touchdowns. Yeah. Stats don't do anything for me, bro. The stats are probably the most misleading thing that goes on sometimes. And in his case, oh my God. Let's see. I'm fully vaccinated. I got a fever last night. I'm home until the doctor gives me the okay. That's the way it goes, man. Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here on the chat board? Do we have anything more? Okay. If you got any other questions, comments, criticisms, remember you can support the show. Cash App and Venmo better than the Super Chat, okay? Cash App, Venmo. Why? Because we get the whole thing. The show gets the whole thing. You go to Super Chat and, you know, YouTube takes 30%. So remember, if you can, Cash Big O Show. If you're going to send it in, Cash App or Venmo, really simple, and search Cash Big O Show, and we appreciate all of you out there. Did you see Michael Irving's comments about getting vaccination? I don't care about the right wing. I don't care about the left wing. I only care about a ring. Exactly. I saw it. And I'm with Michael, bro. I don't care about any of the left or right sides because I laugh at both sides. I don't give a rat's ass about either side. I care about humanity, bro. I care about you guys. I care about every one of you out there. That's why I wore a mask for over a year to protect everybody, protect myself, protect everybody else, respect until we could get the vaccine. Now it looks like now I'm vaccinated. And it looks like I may have to now still put on a mask because there's still so many people unvaccinated that they'll continue to help spread the damn virus. And so it's just terrible, man. But it is what it is. This is what happens. Oh, did Griffin sign? I haven't seen anything. You know, now, again, I don't know how much he's really going to add except special teams. I don't look at him as a key pass rusher for this team. You know what I mean? Seattle let him go, you know? So it's just one of those deals. What else do we have here? If you want to get in, remember, you can always reach out to us by email at Big O Radio Show. YouTube, send the chat in, Twitter, Big O Show, many ways to reach out to us and support the program. And I appreciate all of you out there. What else do we have going on? We talked a little bit about Avante Williams getting kicked off the Hurricanes football team. We talked about Michael Irvin. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins. All of that was in the first hour. We talked a little bit about the Dolphins and Shaquem Griffin visiting. Amazing young man, terrific story, but really not much more than a special teamer. Marlins lost yesterday 3-2 to the Padres. They're still 15 games under 500. They used 8 pitchers yesterday, man. Musgrove and Thompson tonight at 7:10 for the Padres-Marlins matchup in the stadium there. That's what we got locally. And then Sunday, Inter-Miami looks to snap their 6-game losing streak as they take on the Philadelphia Union on My 33. We'll see if they're able to do that. I hope so, man. We need a victory to stop this bleeding, man. It is just absolutely terrible, man. What else do we have that I wanted to talk about? So the Cleveland Indians, and they are now changing their name to the Cleveland Guardians. That's what they're going to be known as, the Cleveland Guardians. That's kind of weird, isn't it? It's odd. Look, I get it in this ultra-sensitive world that we're in and all of that, which I the name itself, Cleveland Indians, I don't know why it's insulting. Now, the Wahoo guy, okay. All right, maybe if you wanted to change it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I can now, you know, I understood the Washington side because the word Redskins was a derogatory word. I get that. Indians is not. So I was just wondering, you know, it's just like, so are we insulting Vikings? Are we insulting Boilermakers? Are, you know what I'm saying? I just, we're kind of going to an extreme now, but I get it. We're ultra sensitive in this world. You know, I don't find us honoring anything that has gone on in our society and using it as a mascot, right? You know, it's the same Indians or Vikings. You know, it was a group of people. It's kind of the same. You know what I mean? Just, okay, instead of that, you know, wacky looking Indian that you put on there, just like the Vikings didn't put on some wacky looking Viking, they put on a badass dude on the logo. I always thought the Washington logo was badass, actually. That's just me. You know what I mean? Now, the word is different. That's the part that, you know, when I saw the Guardians thing, that's the only thing that kind of played with me. I don't know enough people in the Indian culture to tell me that they were insulted strictly just by Indians, because the Seminoles don't mind the Seminoles. And why would they? It's Seminoles. That's a group of people. There's nothing wrong with that. Plus, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a UM fan, okay? Before I say this, I apologize to UM fans all over the place. The Seminoles logo is badass. Just like the Washington logo was absolutely badass. The Patriots. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's just, we could just go on and on and on and talk about all the different kinds of people that are on helmets, that are actual, you know, mascots. Are you really using it in a derogatory way? I thought it was just a little extreme, you know? It's just kind of crazy. I grew up with Red Fox and Archie Bunker and, you know, I saw George Jefferson and I'm not the guy that gets insulted easily or anything like that. I don't take all this kind of stuff that seriously. And I never really thought that the Cleveland Indians needed to change the name. The logo, okay, I kind of understood, you know, Wahoo, right? Whatever, Chief Wahoo, right? Is that what they call it? That I understood in a way, okay? Now, if you're going to be Cleveland Indians, then, you know, put a stout like what Washington had. Put a, like the Seminoles have. Put an imposing figure there. Put somebody respectable there, just like the Vikings are. Just like the old Patriots helmet that the dude is snapping, you know, the helmet, and he just looks like a badass ready to snap the helmet. You know, to me, it's just kind of extreme now. We're going to a place now where I don't know if it's really that bad. I get it if the word is derogatory, like Redskins was. I didn't find Cleveland Indians derogatory. But then again, I'm not Indian, so maybe I see it differently. The logo, I think that's what they should have changed. That's all. But that's just me. That's just, you know, my thoughts on it. Dixie, Plantation, Rebels, Lee, Forrest, Jackson. Yeah, people are too ultra sensitive. I agree. You know, what was it? Wasn't it the Sugar Kings? Right. It was the Sugar Kings. Right. So what are we making fun of Cuban people in the sugarcane fields? Come on, man. Give me a break. You know, how about not forgetting those people that actually had to work their asses off and provided a lot for everybody else, but in order to just survive and have a job, like a Boilermaker? You know, God, are we insulting Huskies all over the place since, you know, Washington has the Huskies? Should we, you know, save the dogs now? Let's not insult the dogs either. It gets to a point where it's just kind of ridiculous. You know, just gets kind of ridiculous. Buccaneers. Oh, my God. We are insulting Pirates all over the place. We're firing off cannons. You know, Pirates all over the world are going to be mad at us. I don't know, man. I saw that and it was like, extreme. It's just we can't do it. Devin says, what's next? FSU? No, FSU's not going to change it. And the Seminole tribe has already said that they're fine with it. And why wouldn't the Seminole tribe be fine with the Florida State Seminoles? It's awesome. At no point are they ever making fun of the Seminoles. In fact, I think it honors the Seminoles. Just like in Purdue, they're honoring Boilermakers, right? And they're honoring people that are a line of workers that do something that's important in that part of the world or something along those lines. What's wrong with that, dude? I find nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? I think we should cherish Indians. I think we should honor them. Damn, they were the first ones in this country. So I have no problem honoring the American Indian in many different ways. We should honor all kinds of people. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if we're using it in a derogatory way, then I'm all for it. The Washington Redskin thing, okay, I understood that one. I completely understood that one. I had no problem with that. But there's not a lot of names out there that are derogatory to a group of people, you know? And I think a lot of times you're kind of honoring those people, or you're honoring your state animal, or you're honoring whatever it is that, you know, that something that you're the part of your country stands for. And that's a part of your life. And that's why you've named it whatever it is all throughout the world, period, not just here. Right? I mean, Inter Miami, right? The Herons, right? Why? Well, of course, you can find them here like crazy. The Miami Dolphins. Well, I'm sure outside in the ocean, there's plenty of dolphins. I mean, it's just one of those. Miami Hurricanes. We had a writer, you know, because of Andrew, they wanted to take the name away. I'm sorry, bro. We live in South Florida. We're in hurricane country, not just with the football team, but literally we're in hurricane country. So what? Because we had a hurricane ravage us? Well, that's kind of why we're the Miami Hurricanes, because we face hurricanes. We're not trying to insult anybody that lost their homes or somebody lost their lives or nothing like that. It's the Miami Hurricanes. That's it. Yet we had somebody write years ago, they should change the name of the Miami Hurricanes after that storm, which is ridiculous. It just, we get to this ultra sensitive level that I just don't understand. So Joe says Redskins is a slur and Chief Wahoo was an offensive character to some. That's why those names were changed. Joe, you missed the point again, bro. You're not listening. You're not paying attention. Cleveland Indians is not insulting. I said Chief Wahoo was insulting, so I understood why you would change the logo. And I already mentioned that the Redskins was derogatory, and I had no problem. So thank you for not paying attention at all to what I was saying. Maybe just go on your rant and not even actually listen to the host. Dolphins signed Shaquille Griffin for 1 year. There you go. Training camp fodder. We'll see. Again, insurance policy after insurance policy after insurance policy. Remember what I told you yesterday? No, 2 days ago. Remember what I told you about that? He's an anticipatory GM. So he's looking at it and he's just getting a little deeper on the team and have another body for training camp, which it doesn't hurt. So I get that. I just don't think he's going to do, I don't think he's going to do anything pretty much as a pass rusher, but he could help you out on special teams because he's pretty good at that overall. So a team called the Miami Cubans would be fine with you then. Yeah, why not? Yeah, I got no problem with that. None whatsoever. Why would I be wrong with? Now, is it Miami Cubans with a dude on a raft? Right? Is it Miami Cubans with a dude on a raft, rolling with a sugar cane, with a cigar in his mouth, and some kind of a straw hat? You see what I'm saying, sir? Now you're kind of, you know, making fun of it, like Chief Wahoo. But Miami Cubans wouldn't be bad. What's wrong with that? I mean, I'd love it, actually. Got no problem with it. Where can I buy the shirt? Where's it at? You got the shirt? I'm buying it right now. It's the way you do things, bro. You know? No, the nickname honored a fierce warrior. Yeah, I have no problem with that. Let's see what else. Comprehension is very poor these days. Don't they have to cut someone now? Nah, Ian, they probably were under that 90 mark. They were probably at 88 or 89 or something, and that's why I could add a body. That's probably what's going on. Unless there's somebody injured that we don't know about, and then that person's going to be placed on some kind of list, and then maybe they bought themselves that space. That could be. But they signed them to a one-year deal already, so that kind of tells me that there was a spot open, you know? It's not like some kind of a short tryout or some kind of crap like that. The Washington team should change their name to the Washington Crooks in honor of the politicians. Yeah, I can go with that. I can go with that. Well, the dude that's in office now, bro, I have no problem with the infrastructure, but all that other stuff that he wants to spend on, oh, God, our dollar's going to go like this, bro. God. All right, what else do we have going on here to talk about? Did you guys see Simone Biles got her own emoji? That's pretty cool, right? I mean, that to me is about the coolest thing. And she deserves it, obviously. She's been such a great Olympian. And obviously, she's, I don't know what gold medal she's going for now. Is this number 53rd? The 110th gold medal? I'm not exactly sure because she's such a badass. But when you're watching the Olympics and you catch Simone Biles, I'll admit, the gymnastics is something that I don't watch as much. Now, selfishly, patriotically, jingoistically, okay, I do watch the Americans. If I turn on the TV and the Americans are in the process of it, then yeah, I'll watch it because obviously USA, baby. But if not, I probably will watch the other type of summer sports that I like, the track and field, the basketball, boxing, you know, those kind of things, soccer. That's the kind of summer games that I like overall. Gymnastics, not as much, but I will watch our men and women at least. That I will watch. And so if you are watching, she has two hashtags. It's either hashtag Simone or hashtag Simone Biles. So either one will come out if you're watching her and congratulating her and tweeting at her and loving what she's doing, obviously, because she's going out there to bring gold once again to our country, which is a beautiful thing. So nice job, Simone Biles, getting her own emoji. The only thing that must suck for these folks is that then they eliminate the emoji down the line. It should be like an emoji that lasts forever, right? Unless the person like gets in trouble or something and turns out to be a bad person or something, then maybe you want to eliminate it. Then Twitter can do it at that point. But I've noticed that after a short while, after whatever run is done, they eliminate the emoji and then you never see it again. And that kind of sucks. I think a person like Simone should actually have it permanently, man. She's an Olympic monster, man. She's been absolutely amazing. The other thing, for those of you, I don't know how many are watching, but Ted Lasso begins tonight. I am looking forward to that. Now, here's my problem with the Ted Lasso situation. Do I watch Ted Lasso tonight? Because if I understand, it's only one episode, correct? It's not like they're not dropping the whole season, are they? They're dropping just one episode. So they're going to give us an episode every week, correct? Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. That's what I'm assuming. So if it's just one episode, and how many of you do this nowadays? If it's just one episode, do I hold off, wait a couple weeks so I can get a couple of episodes in and I can binge watch a couple of episodes? Because I'm the guy that watched Ted Lasso a little later than most. So my wife and I went right through the entire series in a weekend. Well, obviously, because it was only like, was it like 9-12 episodes or something? It wasn't a lot of episodes, if I remember correctly. But we watched it over a weekend pretty much. I think from a Friday to a Sunday, we finished that season. So do you guys do that? Do you hold off and say, you know, I hate waiting week to week, so I'll just wait and not pay attention to what people are talking about with Ted Lasso, and I'll just watch it on a binge for a couple of weeks. I got a buddy that waits till the end of any season of everything. He goes, no, dude, I hate it. I just want to have the whole season there so I can start watching it from beginning to end, and then I'm done. So he always does this for all his shows, which is impressive, by the way, because I think some of us would not have that kind of patience. So Herman says, I wait a while. Says, is it good, Ted Lasso? Haven't even seen. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's excellent, dude. You should, Herman, go start watching the first season, bro. It's good. It's entertaining. It's good. You're going to enjoy it. Okay. I like it a lot. It's a good show. It's an entertaining show. So I'm glad that it's back. I just don't know. John Rouse says, Big O, your emoji would be the crazy Cuban with a stogie. I love it. Do it. That'd be awesome. Let's talk to Twitter. Let's get an emoji of a crazy Cuban with a cigar. Joe says, I was listening and we just disagree. That's all. I'm still a big fan. There was no disagreement from your comment, Joe. You said Redskin is a slur. So did I. Chief Wahoo was offensive. That's exactly what I said. Caricatured or some. That's why those names were changed. That's, to me, that the difference is the name had to be changed with Redskins, not the logo. Chief Wahoo had to be changed, not the name. That's all. But most of the stuff that you were saying, we agreed upon. The last thing is the only thing that I don't even know if you agreed or not. You just made a statement. It just says that's why those names were changed. I don't know if you believe in that or not, but you're explaining to me something that I already know. So as far as I'm concerned, what you wrote there, Joe, there was no disagreement if I understand English. Did I not say that Redskins is a slur? Joe and I agree. Did I not say that Chief Wahoo was offensive as a caricature? Yes. And those names were changed. Okay, that's a fact. That's not a statement. Okay, I mean, I don't know, man. I think I know how to read English. I think I can comprehend English. And thank you for listening. And I'm a fan of yours for checking out the show. I appreciate you. But there was no disagreement in that statement you wrote. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I understood exactly what you wrote. You did not actually understand what I said. That's the kind of difference there. Big O, who can the Dolphins get? Two awesome radio by play announcers. I'm off that, bro. Jimmy C is dealing with some serious illness. I'm not even gonna. That's all past right now, man. I'm hoping for the best. I hope he recovers, man. Dark is a great show on Netflix. Uber, what the hell is Dark about, bro? I don't know what it is. Tell me. Give it up. Joe Romano goes, I see it, bro. My fault. It's all good, baby. It's a big deal, bro. You think I'm not going to screw up 1,000 times? It is what it is. All right. We are going to talk a little Canes with our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Manny Navarro will join us in 30 seconds.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
The viewpoints, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. Time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
Hey, baby, yes.
I'm doing good, man. Can you hear me all right? I'm in the airport here in Charlotte.
Wow, damn. Yeah, I can hear the noise from the terminal, man. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, yeah, I hope you don't hear too many interruptions during the broadcast here with, you know, announcements for flights and so forth. So I apologize to the listeners if that happens.
So how long are you sitting there till your flight? When's your flight?
We board at 1, so my flight's at 1:30, but we got time to talk, man. We got plenty of time to talk today.
All right, beautiful. First of all, I started off the show by commending Manny Diaz and the University of Miami football program. The Avante Williams situation, if true, which obviously they must have done some kind of diligence on their own to find out the facts of all of this. But I give them – I know it's not an easy decision, but it was the right message sent.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oh, I think, you know, anytime you have a situation with domestic violence, a man hitting a woman, pushing a woman, whatever the circumstance is, you have to do the right thing. And in this case, Avante Williams was living with his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend here for the past 4 months here in South Florida. And according to the arrest affidavit, you know, I got my hands on around 8 o'clock in the morning, right when the PIO office at Miami-Dade opened, you know, the details in there weren't pretty. The way he was treating her, shoving her to the ground, the fact that, you know, they had to take her to the hospital by ambulance. And so it's an ugly situation. And I think Manny Diaz did what a coach had to do, which was to part ways with Avante. You know, obviously, whatever happens in his personal life, whatever's going on in his personal life, you know, when it gets to a situation like that, and everybody knows what happened, and it's public record, there's nowhere to hide, right? And so I think he did the right thing.
Yeah, I'm with them. I give them a lot of credit making that decision. So first of all, talk to me a little bit about what nugget can you give us from the meeting this week, the ACC and obviously UM?
Yeah, well, I got a chance to meet the new commissioner, the athletic, me and a couple of other writers from the athletic who were here covering the event. Got a one-on-one with the commissioner, Jim Phillips. And, you know, one thing that everybody's talking about now in college football, obviously, is what's going on with Oklahoma and Texas and them potentially going to the SEC and the kind of impact that would have on college football, obviously with the Big 12. And then, of course, the ACC, who is already making significantly less money than the SEC when it comes to TV contracts. So, you know, the ACC is kind of the fourth out of five in the big five among the Power Five conferences in terms of income with TV revenue and so forth. So Jim Phillips's priority is making football stronger. And I think a big push is going to try to be made to try to get Notre Dame to join the conference in football. Obviously, they've got their reasons to want to stay independent, but with what the shifting landscape and realignment and everything that's going on, I think the ACC is definitely going to join the discussion and try to beef up their conference with better schools. I think that's the long-term vision here as the super conferences continue to get stronger and stronger. So I think from a big picture perspective, that was my biggest takeaway. And then I think, you know, just from talking to Miami's players, Bubba Bolden, who made the trip up here, De'Aaron King, Mike Harley, you know, having some one-on-one conversations with those guys as well as some other players around the ACC. For Miami, you know, De'Aaron King, he really does look healthy. He really does look like he's going to be ready to go that week one. I know that's a question that you've had quite a bit. And you know, from all indications, I mean, De'Aaron told us, you know, he's been cutting on the knee, the surgically repaired knee, for over a month now. He said he's 0.3 seconds off of his fastest time, you know, in the 40 in terms of just pure speed and some of the testing that he's doing. So he feels like he's really close to being where he was at before. Now, he did have a conversation with Frank Gore, who tore his ACL twice at Miami, and several other players, including Anthony Brown, the quarterback at Oregon. And they're all giving him the same advice. Don't rush back, dude. So I think De'Aaron's going into fall camp now when it starts August 6th with the mindset of, you know what, if I need a couple of days off of practice, you know, where I'm feeling a little sore, I'm not going to practice for a couple of days. And I think most Miami fans, when they start to read the reports from practice, when me and all the other reporters are out there tweeting, hey, who's here, who isn't, don't freak out if De'Aaron King's not there for a day or two. I think he's just sort of pacing himself as he comes back.
That makes a lot of sense, dude. Every time you bring a guy back from injury, you kind of bring him back slowly and build up the workload, because obviously there's wear and tear with all of that. And you want to make sure he can build up the strength, because soreness will come. Because he can say he's cutting and all that, but he hasn't been playing real football yet. And once he starts playing real football, it's like, you know what it is? It's like us guys that were out of shape, right? Then we go outside and we go rake the leaves or cut the grass or wash the dishes. And you wash the dishes for 10 minutes and you go, damn, my back hurts. And you're like, well, yeah, of course, because your ass never washes the dishes. So now all of a sudden you're there. So when you start doing things you hadn't done in a while, you're starting to break muscles in and everything else. And so that's kind of the process. He's kind of got to be broken back into football. And you know, we still have to wait for Brennan first hit, right? Because that's what happens when you guys cover this, because I've done it too. We always wait for that first hit, and then we talk to the player after, you know, hey, how was it after that first hit and all that? Because that's really where the confidence comes from, is once they get hit and they get back up again, they're like, okay, I'm all right.
Yeah, and I think D'Eric is you know, first of all, quarterbacks don't get hit right in practice, so it's not going to happen until game one, unless some idiot makes a mistake in practice and lays one on him. We've seen that happen before.
Listen. If he was wearing a wig, Avante Williams might have done it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh wow.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think everybody knows that you don't get near De'Aaron King in practice, so I don't expect him to get hit until that first game in Atlanta against Alabama. So we'll see. The other thing that I came away with, and I'm going to have a story probably on Monday, is just having conversations with other teams, other coaches around the conference to see what they think of Miami. You know, who do they really see as a contender to push Clemson this year? And I think there's a lot of questions about Miami's pass rush. You know, I mean, a lot of people were talking about how great Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche were, you know, last year, and how much they really had to focus on those guys. And I think without question, like, everybody else is looking at Miami saying, okay, well, who do you got? Like, what's going to happen to your defense without those guys? And so,
by the way, it hasn't been a great secondary.
No.
So if your pass rush is not great, it's going to serve up your secondary in a pass-happy game now that is college in the NFL. So in today's world, they love to pass, bro. And if you can't get to Sam Howell, he's going to light your ass up, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's a very interesting development this year for that defense. They better have a pass.
I will tell you, I had a conversation with a couple of linemen, one guy from North Carolina, another one from Clemson, who was up here for media days, and both of them had a lot of great things to say about Nesta Silvera as a player. And that's something that I heard about at the end of last year. He's, of course, going to be one of the two starting defensive tackles. But both of those guys said Silvera is as physical and as aggressive as any defensive tackle that they face, even outside the conference. So there was a lot of praise for Nesta. I think there was a lot of praise for Bubba Bolden, just as far as where he can be all over the field making plays. So I think from a defensive perspective, that's who the outsiders sort of view as the guys to watch for Miami's defense this year. And then I think on the offensive side, there's so much respect for De'Aaron King, man. And I think the NIL stuff, you know, the involvement that he has with that, with kids around the country, with other players, college players around the country, you know, he's one of the more respected players, I think, in the country this season. So they have a lot of respect for his game, a lot of praise for Rhett Lashley and his play calling, the Louisville guys. Can you remember that big, whatever it was, 70-yard touchdown Cam Harris had in that game? Yep. They said that Rhett Lashley, you know, calls a lot of the same plays, but he hits you every now and then with a surprise. And there were a couple different teams that talked about that Miami's pace was the big difference with their offense last year.
Well, that's why Rhett Lashley isn't going to be around very long.
Right.
The guy, good, bro. That's just the bottom line. When you touched a little bit about it with the SEC trying to become an even bigger power. Just, you know, talking to people there, obviously, man, you get a lot of access to people. Are we still going to be a Power 5 down the line, or do you think in a few years we could find one of these conferences actually fall way behind and becomes a Power 4? Because I tell you, if they lose Oklahoma and Texas, that's an enormous loss for the Big 12. Enormous. Yeah,
there's no question. You know, I think there's obviously that situation where you could just have four power conferences. I think you could get to that. But Oklahoma State, it's one of those universities that has a lot of money, man, a lot of oil money out there. And I think that they're going to do their damnedest to try to keep this thing together. I don't know if they invite Boise State, if they invite some other, you know, group of five teams, UCF, USF, get into Florida. Listen, there's going to be movement. This is just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion, in terms of what's going to change here in college football, because the TV contracts come up. So anytime the TV contracts are coming to an end, whether it's 3 or 4 years from now, they're looking at that, and they're all looking to see how they can cash in and make money. And let's not forget, there's a lot of schools that lost money last year with COVID, okay, yeah, with all the games and no fans there. So I think there's some schools that are definitely desperate, that are willing to – you know, do whatever it takes to get freed up, man, and to get more money for their program and to grow. And so I think the Big 12, you know, it may not be called the Big 12 in a couple of years anymore, but I think it's certainly going to stay together in some way, shape, or form, because those schools, the Kansases, the Oklahoma States, the Baylors, all of those out there in the Midwest, they want to stay together. They really have nowhere else to go, because I don't think they're going to jump over to the SEC too. You know, I mean, there's only so many.
Wait a minute. Okay, so let me follow up with this, because SEC mm-hmm. went after money, because Oklahoma and Texas is money, bro. And you're right. Bringing it to the biggest money league in college football, which is the SEC. ACC yeah. is going to want to go after money also. Dude, why not go after Oklahoma State? Why not try to entice? If I get it, you want Notre Dame, but Notre Dame has their own damn network. I don't know why they would give that up, because everybody bends over backwards to put them on their schedule anyway. So, and right. they know it, so they've got this stranglehold. So I don't know if you'll get them. Why go to a lesser school to recruit, you know, try to bring in and go after some other powers that are left in the Big 12, like Oklahoma State?
This to me, is all about scheduling. I think, you know, they're trying to get the scheduling set where you have, like, you know, I don't know if you've seen some of these models, but for the SEC, for instance, the pod system, where the same four teams play each other every year and they play two other. And so this is all about getting big time games that you can put on TV and cash in. So, yes, it is about the money. You know, I think it comes down to, you know, the ACC really pushing as hard as it can to get Notre Dame to jump in. And then if there's a school that makes sense from a money perspective, I don't know that there is. I mean, you look at the map, just what's around them. I mean, I guess you could try Oklahoma State. I don't know if it's a natural fit. Maybe West Virginia's more, because it's in the region of where all these ACC schools are. But is West Virginia really that kind of program? I don't know. I don't think so. So we'll have to see.
The Big Ten's not the Big Ten you and I grew up with. There's some teams right. in there. You're like, you know what I'm saying? It's just it's gotten kind of the tradition is out the window. In other words, the only right. tradition that we're going by now is el dinero. That's it, bro. It's all about the cash and nothing else. That's why, because, you know, a lot of people talk about like UCF. And yeah, mm-hmm. UCF is a nice program. But, dude, if you're the ACC and you watch what the SEC is doing, you need to try to overcome, because your bottom half or your two-thirds is actually way weaker than the SEC's. So you need to get more top-heavy right now if you're the ACC. That's the way I kind of look at it, and that's why I wonder, outside of Notre Dame, what else can you go after?
Right. I don't know. I think adding Texas is what makes the most sense. If I was the ACC, I'd be trying to make Texas and Notre Dame the two teams, like try to get involved in that fight for Texas, especially from a recruiting perspective and the amount of athletes that they try to pull out of there. I think Texas makes the most sense, but we'll see. I mean, to me, this is just, again, the tip of the iceberg. I know that there's reports out there that these conversations have been going on for 6 months. But it's interesting, you know, Texas A&M is going to play a factor in this. They're the one that came over to the SEC, and they didn't want any part of Texas. They wanted the SEC just to be there. So I don't know how all those negotiations behind the scenes are going to shape this. I just know that by 2025, college football is going to probably look a lot different than what we know now.
Justin Medlock, the recruit, what can you tell me?
Yeah, I expect him to commit today whenever he makes his announcement. You know, I talked to both of his coaches at his school, at Manville High School, and they had nothing but high praise for this kid. You know, I think the one issue is, you know, he had the meniscus tear last year. And so you had a lot of big time schools that were after him, a lot of the elite power fives that kind of stepped back and said, you know what, we got other kids. We kind of view him on the same level, and there's other kids that we're after. But for Miami, it's a necessary position they need to address. And the one thing about this kid is how smart he is. Apparently, they run a very complicated 4-2-5 type of defense over there. They have a college defensive coordinator. And this kid, when he came down and took his official visit in June, him and John Packey sat there and broke things down on the chalkboard. And everything I heard was this kid was like super smart, the kind of starting middle linebacker that you need, a guy that you could just put in there and he'd be your quarterback or your defense. So, you know, Miami has Corey Flagg, who's coming into his second year. He and Corey know each other. They're friends. So I think it's just sort of a natural fit for Miami. So I think they'll pick up their sixth commitment today when Justin Medlock announces.
All right, one more before I let you go. Manny Navarro joining us for our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. And make sure you follow the great people at Caneswear at Canes_wear on Twitter, 954-835-5597. They're at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. And remember, caneswear.com, that's open 24/7. And all orders over $99, you will get free shipping. So Brett and the boys will take care of you there at Caneswear. All right. I know that they've got 19 of 21 returning starters. So there's a lot of experience, and I totally understand it. So give me something from left field. Give me a true freshman that could make an impact, that could crack, could get some playing time, a guy that all Canes fans will be watching this season.
Well, I think in light of what just happened with Avante Williams, you got to think James Williams. That you're talking about true freshman. I think that's a guy that without question now will be seen very much on special teams, on kick return, punt return, going down there, flying, knocking guys out the way Sean Taylor used to be. I think, you know, this kid is very, very talented. He's one of the most elite safeties I've seen coming out. To me, he's a kid that should probably be playing defensive end and being Javon Curse and just let him go crazy on offensive tackles because he's 6'5", and he's already 220-something pounds. But I think, you know, this is a kid that as the season goes on, whatever way Miami decides to utilize him, whether they put him in the box and they say, hey, go rush the quarterback or, you know, stand there and hit the running back. He's a guy that I think is going to make an impact. You'll see it first on special teams, but I think by the end of the season, you'll definitely see it. And then I think, you know, you look at the tight end position, it's a position where you have Will Mallory, but you also have a couple of other guys that are unproven. So I think you could see this kid, Elijah Arroyo, kind of start to catch some balls as the season goes on. I think that's just sort of a natural spot, you know, where you look at Red Lashley's offense and say, who's going to get opportunities? I could see that kid, even though he was hurt in the spring, everything I heard about him was he was ready to go, going to be a valuable weapon in the passing game. So I think you'll see him in spots as well. You know, there's a couple freshmen in this class at the receiver position, Romello Brinson, that if they really come along, they might get a couple catches, you know, by the end of the season. But this is a very senior laden team. You mentioned 19 to 21 starters. I think it's going to be mostly the veterans. And I forgot one more, Jose Borregales' little brother, Andres. He is going to be, of all the freshmen, he will probably – He will make the biggest impact because he will be kicking big time field goals and being involved in kickoffs and whatnot. He will be the guy more than anybody else you'll see. But I think James from a offensive defensive perspective, I'd say James Williams went up after what happened to Avante Williams and Elijah Arroyo. And I know Leonard Taylor is another guy, defensive tackle. But I think, you know, that's a position where you have Nessa Silvera, you got John Ford, you got other guys. He might just come in on third downs and help out a little bit. But I think James Williams has probably moved up the ladder.
Borregales, he's not a freshman, right? Because he's a transfer, or is he still?
That's his younger brother, Jose Borregales, right. He's gone now. Jose Borregales left. Brother, Andres. Yeah, this is Andres, his freshman. He's a freshman, true freshman.
Okay, because I thought he transferred from FIU.
No, Jose transferred. Jose transferred, but Andres is a freshman, right? He was at Champagnat last year. Yeah,
okay. I thought he left FIU and came here like his brother. And that's
No. Yeah, he was recruited. He was recruited. He committed to Miami in the 11th grade. Yeah, so there you go.
All right, my bad. All right, man. Have safe travels. I appreciate you as always. We will talk to you again on Tuesday for the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. More importantly, folks, subscribe to The Athletic. It's extremely affordable. Plus, what you get out of it is a joke. Manny, as always, safe travels. I love you. Be good.
Thank you, man. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You got it. There you go. Manny
Navarro. If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.